guys, and welcome to What's on La Liga. Match day 13th. Everything is very packed in the top of the table. And of course, we have Álvaro Romeo with us to analyze this match day. How are you, Álvaro?
Very well, thank you, Edu. How are you?
I'm pretty well after enjoying the Champions League. Everything is very interesting in La Liga, Álvaro, although the Spanish teams are not exceptional when they are leaving the borders. Two defeats. And Barcelona and Real Madrid, they won, but without shining. And so let's analyze this match day. Guys, remember, you can ask any question to Álvaro about this match day or leave your predictions and your tips in the comment section as always. And of course, you can support us by clicking on the like, subscribing, or pressing the in the bell to get all the notifications. I forgot what to say. Álvaro, let's start with the game we have on Friday, San Mamés. Your team, Athletic, playing against Cádiz. Cádiz, they are in relegation zone, but probably they deserve a little bit more points than what they actually right now have. 9 points. They drew against Mallorca in the last game. Athletic, they were lucky to get a point at Anoeta in the derby in the very last minute with the goal scored by Muniain. Athletic, usually, Álvaro, they are very strong at home. They are showing it also this season. Only one defeat in San Mamés was against Rayo. We didn't expect that. Only 2 points away from Europe, so I guess you expect them to win here.
2 points away from Europe and a game in hand. Let's not forget, this team is doing very well. And you know, not only they are defending well, because if you ask me in September or at the beginning of October, what is the main characteristic of Athletic Club Bilbao? I will tell you, I think that we defend very well, but then we are flat when it comes to attacking. Not anymore. Against Espanyol, we attack so well, and it was only Diego López the one who prevented us from winning. Against Real Sociedad, I think that we were as good as they were. And I believe that the approach of the team is quite daring lately. Marcelino is doing attacking substitutions whenever the team needs a little bit of that. So I'm pretty positive about Athletic Club Bilbao, and all the players, whenever they are asked in the press conference, they talk about Europe. And I think that aiming for the best is the first step to get the best possible outcome. When it comes to Cádiz, as you well said, look, they weren't bad against Mallorca, they drew with them, and away from home, they have been okay. Not great, but they have been okay, considering that they beat Celta Vigo, they drew at Betis ground back in August, they drew with Villarreal as well, in a game that they could have won had Lozano been slightly more clinical. And that sounds strange, because Lozano scored 2 goals, but then he missed the one-on-one with Rulli in that game. So I think that Cádiz is in a decent form, but not decent enough to beat Athletic Club Bilbao. So for this game, look, ideally, if every player was available, I would go for Athletic Club Bilbao to win 2-0. But bear in mind a couple of things. Íñigo Martínez is suspended, the club captain, center back. Vivian, the other center back, is out. And Geray, the third center back, is doubtful for the game. So, win 2-0, maybe not this time, just in case, on the basis of who is missing. So, why don't you go for something that used to work? It didn't work for me in the Champions League, but normally works for me in La Liga, Asian Handicap Corners -3 for Athletic Club. That pays 197.
You can be the center back then in San Mamés. Yeah. Remember that Cádiz won last year, actually, at La Catedral, as we call San Mamés, 0-1, but with Marcelino, things are different, and this Athletic are doing way better this season. On Saturday, the first game we have is Espanyol Granada. In the previous, before the previous international break, we were a bit afraid about Robert Moreno. He might be without job, but Granada, they are doing great now. They are out of the relegation zone. The last 4 games, 2 victories, 2 draws. They thrashed Levante actually away in the last match day. But Álvaro, Espanyol also are doing great when they are playing, especially at home. 3 victories, 1 draw in the last 4 games. Only Atletico, and was in the 100th minute, was able to beat them. The odds are quite low for Espanyol. I think it's a bit risky actually, because Granada, they are dangerous now.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I like Espanyol, and even in the first podcast we did this season, I was telling you that I thought that they were top flight material, that they were not going to get relegated. But the odds are very generous for them here, and I can see why, because at home they've been okay. They beat Real Madrid to start with. They didn't lose to Athletic Club Bilbao. They were this close to getting one point against Atletico de Madrid, all that at Cornellà. But the problem is that they're facing a Granada team that they are probably the most improved club in October, that's for sure. I mean, they got 8 points out of 12 against Sevilla, Osasuna, Getafe, and Levante. And they have conceded only 2 goals in the last 4 games. So I'm kind of ready to back a little bit Granada here, not necessarily to win this game, but if you go for a double chance for them, so for example, a draw is totally valid here, a double chance for Granada, that pays 197, I like that one, and the Asian handicap plus 0.5 for Granada, I like that one too. Basically, it's the same, but it pays slightly more, 202. If they win, you win. If you draw, you win as well.
Yeah, double chance then for Granada. Actually, the draw also looks very good, 3.58. If someone have doubts about Asian handicaps or double chance, we have videos explaining what every single betting market means in case you have some doubts, because sometimes people it's kind of difficult to understand Asian handicaps, especially. Then Álvaro, Celta, Barça, Xavi is in their way to Barcelona. And my first question before analyzing this game is like, you like Xavi for Barcelona's bench right now?
I want a guy, and Barcelona needs a guy who has a project in his mind. You know, sacking Valverde didn't work because Barcelona just gave a chance to a guy who was no more than an interim to the player's size, who was Quique Setién. Also, Ronald Koeman came. He was not fully supported by John Laporta after Laporta took over after winning the election. So when the manager is not supported, then Barcelona doesn't have a project. And if Barcelona doesn't have a project in this time in which they've got financial struggles and plenty of players who are too young to be good still or too young to be decisive, if Barcelona doesn't have a project with these elements in their hands, then they will suffer. So at least Xavi is a man who has a project. I don't know if he's going to be good enough for Barcelona. That is still to be proven. But it's better to bring someone with very clear ideas. And the job of Xavi is going to be so difficult at the same time, because he's not going to be only the manager. He's going to be the spokesman of the club. He's going to be the guy who is going to have a decisive impact in the career of Frenkie de Jong, of Araujo, of Gavi, of Nico, of Ansu Fati. So he will have a hell of a job in his hands. But I tell you what, maybe I prefer a Xavi than a Roberto Martinez or than a Gallardo. Guys who will have to adapt, who will have to land, who will have to know all the board, all the players. At least Xavi knows a little bit how the club works. And I think that his signing is probably the best one out there. That's my opinion. Obviously, time will say. But for this game, in particular, Edu, I'm telling you, I think that Barcelona can suffer here against Celta because, you know, it's not going to be easy on paper. But at the same time, they are doing slightly better. Barcelona got Dembélé back and he looked sharp against Dinamo Kiev, or at least he looked quick. Araujo is back, and I believe that Araujo is the best defender Barcelona has altogether with Piqué, but Araujo is more physical right now at this stage of his career. Ter Stegen against Dinamo Kiev, he did decisive saves again, something that we haven't seen this season from Barcelona's German goalkeeper. So even though this game is going to be difficult, I think that Celta is not ready to beat Barcelona. They won only one game in October. Only 3 teams have scored less goals than Celta. And their best striker this season, or their best scorer, Santi Mina, is out. So maybe Barcelona to win is interesting enough here. That is 2.17. Yeah, that will be the one I'm choosing. I couldn't go for a clean sheet for Barcelona, because I think that what they got against Dinamo Kiev was a little bit miraculous. As I said before, Ter Stegen was the savior. But maybe Barcelona to win, understanding that this is going to be very difficult for Barcelona, is my favorite bet here, because basically it duplicates your money. 2.17.
Still very shaky, Barcelona. They won both games with Dinamo Kiev, but suffering a lot, especially in Ukraine, in La Liga. Of course, with Sergi Barjuan already on the bench, they couldn't beat Alaves, so it's a risky bet going for Barcelona. Also, Celta, usually they make good games against Barça historically. Then our next game, talking about Barcelona Alaves, is actually Alaves, one of these teams that they looked doomed at the beginning of the season, but Javi Calleja is surprising us. He was able to save the team last season, and now he's making the job for sure. Last four games, two victories against Cádiz and Elche. They got that draw against Barcelona. So now they are out of the relegation zone and they are facing the worst team in La Liga for sure right now, even if they are not bottom of the table. The change of manager is not helping. They were completely overplayed by Granada in the last game. Álvaro, that's why I like a lot these odds for Alaves.
I like them too, and I'm going to support Alaves for this game. You know, let me tell you that Alaves, they don't have a lot of ingredients in the team. They don't have a lot of good players, but they are maximizing what they've got. I mean, Joselu has become a pivotal striker for them, especially in the absence of Lucas Pérez, who is no longer playing for them. Rioja, you may associate this name with a very good wine coming from Spain, not far from a region, but Rioja is a very good winger of Alaves too, and he's doing an excellent job for them. He finished last season in a great form against Barcelona. He was superlative as well. And then the defense, commanded by La Guardia, a centre-back who looks like a centre-back, is doing very well this time. And Alaves winning 2-0 has become a solid possibility. At the end of the day, they are doing it this season. They did it against Atletico de Madrid. And little by little, they are getting the results. So for this game, look, considering that Levante is the worst team in La Liga in 2021, considering that Levante with Pereira haven't improved a lot with the new manager, considering that the strikers of Levante, they are basically dry this season, why not to believe that Alaves can win this game? Alaves to win is 2.55. And a win 2-0 for Alaves, something that, you know, I wouldn't put my money in there, even though I can explain why this can happen. I mean, Alaves to win 2-0, it's a possibility that the precedents and logic tell you that may happen. Well, if you want to put your money in there, do it. I wouldn't particularly back it because I still want to wait a little bit more until I fully trust Alaves at home, especially being solid defensively. But Alaves to win alone gives you a great return. So good that I'm going to keep it for the ACA. 2.55. And there is another market here that is worth flagging. The under two goals market. Levante is not conceding many goals lately. Alaves is not scoring many goals, basically, in 2021. So, under two goals, that duplicates your bet as well. But as I said before, the Alaves to win, I love it here, 2.55.
I really love these odds for Alaves, actually. 2.6, welcome also, Suban. And thanks, everyone, for watching with us. Tell us what you think about these games. The next one is a derby. Is Real Madrid Rayo the favorite, as we are seeing here, for the outright market to win La Liga? But the truth is that this Real Madrid is looking, in my opinion, worse and worse with the weeks. They are not entertaining us. Yesterday we watched a very poor game again at Bernabeu Stadium, where they are struggling. Álvaro, we saw it against Osasuna, we saw it against Villarreal. The team is only trusting on Vinicius and Benzema to score. The second line is not appearing. Isco, Hazard, Asensio. No one is getting a lot of minutes from Ancelotti. And now they are facing Rayo, that they are doing a great season, of course. But at home, when they are playing away, they won at San Mamés. But their level is not the same. What do you expect here in this, again, this is a derby?
Well, Edu Rayo away from home hasn't been particularly brilliant, let me tell you. They lost four games, they drew one against Levante, and they beat Athletic Club Bilbao in the aggregate time of that game. So, you know, as much as I like Rayo this season, the truth is that it is at home where they have their fortress. When it comes to Real Madrid, I watched them against Shakhtar. It's a bit strange, because with Real Madrid, I've got the feeling that they are still like adapting to the new manager, even though Ancelotti was there, but it was a different squad. And Ancelotti is trying to get all the pieces together. Ancelotti is trying to give chances to players that he still believes that they are going to be important during the season, because the season is very long, obviously. I think that they are missing more energy in midfield, and I could see that yesterday. Casemiro, I've never seen him so tired, so jaded. Casemiro is a shadow of himself, and I know that he was pivotal in the build-up to the second goal of Real Madrid, because he linked up very well with Vinicius and Benzema. He was brilliant there, showing that he's got quality. But, you know, during the game, he couldn't track back. He couldn't run back. In the counter attacks, he was always a second late. And that was very concerning for me. The fact that Casemiro, who is probably the most important player that Real Madrid has altogether with Benzema and Vinicius right now, he is not in a good form. You know, at the same time, I believe that Real Madrid got these dangerous players. I think that Rodrigo is going to be the number three striker at the end of the season, the guy who is going to help Benzema and Vinicius score the goals. The thing is that Rodrigo is still doubtful for this game. And, you know, they are playing on Saturday, Real Madrid. They are playing at Santiago Bernabeu at 8 p.m. I know that the supporters at Santiago Bernabeu are very demanding, especially this time of the day. And I also know that when Real Madrid players get booed by the fans, as they did against Shakhtar, Real Madrid uses to raise their level. So I believe that Real Madrid is going to do the job here, more or less. So I'm going to go for over 1.5 goals in the second half of Real Madrid-Rayo Vallecano. That pays 178. I believe that Real Madrid probably will be scoring those goals.
Actually, everyone disagrees with you, Álvaro, here, because they are going for double chance for Rayo. There is not much trust on
3.32.
Sorry?
3.32, the double chance. Yeah. I check it out as well, yeah. I could put some money in there if I had some money left, some spare money, but I think that it's unusual that a team of like Real Madrid offers two bad games in the Santiago Bernabeu in a row. So that's the reason why, I believe. And the time of the day, I don't know if you would agree with me, Edu, or not, but when Real Madrid plays late at Santiago Bernabeu, I think the crowd is slightly more demanding, even at 8 p.m. If this game was at 1 p.m. midday on a Saturday, I would see Real Madrid making a mistake. But at this time of the day, Champions League time, let's put it that way, I think Real Madrid is going to get it. But still, I didn't say that Real Madrid is going to win it. I just said that there will be more than 1.5 goals in the second half.
Yeah, the thing is that they are playing terrible this season actually at Bernabeu. Not many spectators. There is still the improvements in the stadium. And we've only seen one easy victory was against Mallorca. The other games, Real Madrid, they are struggling, especially at home, because they cannot counterattack. And this is where they are very dangerous. Then if Real Madrid might have trouble against Rayo Vallecano, I think Villarreal also could have trouble here. On Sunday against Getafe is not a bad time, I think, to go to La Cerámica. Álvaro, Villarreal, at least they won against Young Boys in the Champions League. They had also good news because Emery is going to stay in the club. He had an offer from Newcastle, but in La Liga they are very bad. 1-3 defeats in the last four games. And Getafe, they've improved with Quique Flores. That's very easy because they cannot get worse than with Mitchell. They got the first victory of the season. At least, can you see a surprise here?
No. I think that Villarreal this time is going to do the job. But seriously, I think Getafe has improved with Quique Sánchez Flores. And actually, the win that they finally got last weekend could have come 2 weeks ago as well. I believe that Granada got the equalizer in the last minute against them. Jorge Molina scored the penalty. So Getafe has improved with Quique. This is a team that is going to put a fight until the end and will try to stay in the first division. But there are a couple of things, mitigating circumstances, if I may, that go in the favor of Villarreal. Number one, Emery staying is a booster. On Tuesday evening, it really looked like he was leaving. And Unai Emery gave an interview to Movistar after the game against Young Boys. And he was saying that basically he had to make a decision. So, you know, Unai Emery considered seriously leaving to Newcastle, even though, in my opinion, it would have been a massive step back. Newcastle needs like 3 summer windows just to get a squad half as good as Villarreal. Newcastle's squad is terrible, but anyway, that's another story. I think a Villarreal against Young Boys did the job. In the Champions League, they look okay, 7 points. I think that they can more or less be a little bit speculative with the results. And in La Liga, they have to get the result done. I'm sure that Unai Emery's staying is going to be a booster. I am sure that the message in the locker room is, guys, we cannot waste more time in La Liga because we are already too far from the European positions. So this is a must win for Villarreal. That's why I'm going to back them. For example, the Asian Handicap -1 for Villarreal, that pays 2.13. good enough, or the if you believe that this game can be slightly more entertaining, but you don't know exactly who's going to win it because Getafe is doing okay so far, or is doing okay lately, sorry, the over 2.5 goals is something that I back here to 2.35. And one more caveat, Gerard Moreno is still out. He's Villarreal's best scorer, but in his absence, a player like Danjuma is taking over, and what a signing, man. He's scoring all the goals that Villarreal needs.
Some people are already fed up with Villarreal because they are not reliable at all this season in La Liga, similar as what happened, for instance, with Sevilla in the Champions League, that they are awful. Not reliable. Horrible, but yeah, at one point, I guess Villarreal, they have to show the quality, at least to be closer to the European spots. But let's see if this Getafe can get out something from La Cerámica. We stay in the same region and we go south to Valencia and Mestalla. We have the most interesting game with the Sevilla derby of this match day. We have Valencia Atlético de Madrid. The Atlético supporters, they are not very happy with their defense. They lost again against Liverpool. They were very bad, especially in the first minute. Then Felipe is still showing that he's not very good in recent times playing for Atletico, was shown a ridiculous red card, because in my opinion that was not red card, Álvaro, but the thing is that Atletico still is very difficult to trust this season. They played an easy game against Betis, that was good for them, but this is kind of an isolated positive news for them, because they are suffering in every single game. And Valencia can be a tricky ground for them, especially because finally Valencia got a victory against Villarreal after 7 winless games.
Yeah, and it was a very important victory for Valencia. I think that they were very good against Villarreal and they outplayed them and they were playing with the pressure, but they knew how to handle the pressure. So I think that Valencia did a great job against Villarreal and I believe that they could do a good job against Atletico de Madrid too. I'm not going to back anybody to win or to lose. I'm not going to go for the outright market here. But I'm telling you, these two teams at the minute, they are prone to suffer and to make mistakes here and there. Atletico de Madrid has changed so much. I mean, they are not the best defense in La Liga no more. Maybe at the end of the league, they end up being the team that has conceded less goals. But so far, they are not the best defense in La Liga. And I worried it yesterday that Atletico de Madrid is one of the teams in La Liga that do less faults. You know, they don't stop the game, they don't interrupt you. It's like this Atletico de Madrid, they want to change their style to a more attacking approach, but they don't believe in that. It's like they want to do a transformation, but they are not fully ready to do it. And I think Valencia can capitalize a little bit from all of that. The fact that Llorente is out, the fact that Condogbia has been out, the fact that some very physical players have been out for Atletico de Madrid in this season has been very bad for them, because they have lost that strength, those legs that are needed for the box-to-box games. The good thing is that Antoine Griezmann is going to be ready for this game. He missed the Champions League game and he rested this week, and he seems to be playing much better against Betis, who was fantastic. Even though Betis, I believe that they were very soft. Betis are old, and Atletico de Madrid just took advantage of Betis' lack of physique. When it comes to Valencia, they are improving. The victory against Villarreal was very important. It's great to see Guillamón, Soler and Gaya back in the team. These three players from the academy are so important for them. So, both teams to score. I like it here on the basis that Atletico de Madrid's defense is not very good. That pays two. Or the over one goal in the first half. I like that one. That pays 2.14. Let me tell you what this is about, because sometimes our listeners don't know what the Asian handicap is, and maybe the over one goal needs a small explanation. I mean, your bet wins if there are two or more goals scored in the first half. But if one goal is scored, then you will get a stake refund. So the over one goal in the first half, 2.14, I love it to hear.
Mm-hmm. Then this is a very interesting game, always in Mestalla. Let's go to the islands, Mallorca, Elche. Here we can see low odds actually for Mallorca to win. I'm kind of not surprised, but probably the difference between these two teams is not as big as the odds are showing us. Álvaro, the thing is that Mallorca, when they are playing in the island, they are strong. They've only lost against Osasuna, whereas Elche traveling, they are quite poor. They've lost every single game except in their trip to Getafe, but Elche showed, for instance, against Real Madrid that they are competitive. I don't know if you like these odds for Mallorca or also a draw can be interesting here, I think.
You know, I think that this time I'm going to back Mallorca. They are playing at home against Elche. At home they got 9 points. Elche away from home they only got 3. And there is a pattern in there. Elche away from home are not doing the job normally this season. And Mallorca at home, they are more than okay. 9 points at home at this stage of the competition is pretty good. The projection will be 25, 26 points if they carry on with this good run at form. It's true that Mallorca are winless in the last 4 games, but at the same time, Elche has lost the last 4 games away. And Elche, also, they are toothless away from home. They haven't scored in 3 of their 6 away matches in La Liga this season. So, Mallorca to win, that duplicates your bet. That pays 210. But there is a score that I do like here as well, because I believe that this is going to be decided in tight margins. So, I never go for this one, but I could speculate a bit with my money. Correct score here. Mallorca to win 1-0. That pays 5.75.
Our friend Tom, he always likes a lot to give hints and tips about the exact score in the Premier League, and many times, especially when he's telling us 5-0, he's actually
5-0.
Right. He's 5-0. He got it right a couple of times, yeah, actually, with Man City or even against Arsenal. Yeah. Or if someone got it, for sure, is huge money. Next game, Osasuna, Real Sociedad, the leaders of the table, and even if we are in November, Real Sociedad fans have to be very, very happy. They are playing tonight in Europa League, but probably they can shuffle a bit the cards and they will meet a lot of changes in the squad. Oyarzabal probably out for this tricky trip. Álvaro usually going to Pamplona is not easy, but Osasuna this season, they are way better playing away than at home. Only victory at home was in the very last minute against Rayo Vallecano. You still think Real Sociedad will keep it with this good pace and win in El Sadar? The odds are very good, actually.
Yeah, but for this game, I'm going to go easily for the over 2.5 goals, really. That pays 2.26. And the fact that Osasuna has rested the whole week and Real Sociedad, at some point, they have to show some tiredness. I mean, they are playing without Oyarzabal. They are playing without Carlos Fernández, without Monreal. Zubimendi was out for a long time as well. And he's so important too. I think Real Sociedad, at some point, they have to show some signs of tiredness, even though they are doing very well this season. Against Athletic Club Bilbao, they look good to me. Overly physical a little bit. I believe that this team is getting a little bit rough as well, which will probably make them go through in Europe very far, because you know in Europe you need to have you need to show some character as well. Oyarzabal for this game is out. It's not only a problem for Real Sociedad, it is a problem for the Spanish national team ahead of the November internationals. And Osasuna is true, at home they haven't been particularly prolific, they have won only once. But they got 6 points at home, meaning that it's not easy to win there because they got 3 draws at home as well, apart from 1 victory. So, you know, I am fully aware that Osasuna is not in a great run right now. They got 2 points out of the last 9. But this is a Basque derby. Osasuna has a lot of character. They got an attacking-minded manager and they are attacking a lot in the league. So that's why I'm going for the over 2.5 goals. That pays 2.26. Basically, if there are 3 or more goals scored in the game, you are winning.
David from Ethiopia is actually telling us the opposite under 2.5 goals in this game. Welcome, David. That's good to have different opinions. Odds for the outright market, as you can see, are quite high, even if you are backing the top of the table, Real Sociedad. And for the last game is the hottest derby, I would say, in Spain. We have Betis, Sevilla, and I'm not sure Sevilla is that good as the odds are showing us. Now we can see actually the odds 2.9 for Betis. Last time I checked was even higher, 3.25. And I pretty much like Betis this season. It's true that they were very bad. Probably they played one of the worst games of the season at the Wanda Metropolitano, but they were coming from 3 victories in a row. And Sevilla They are not looking as sharp as they were last season. They are having a lot of trouble in the Champions League as they lost against Lille and they are even in danger to qualify. Not sure. Álvaro, if you go trust Sevilla, it's true that in the derbies, that is always nice, I think, to check the head-to-head. Betis haven't won any of the last five derbies since 2018 was the last Verdi Blanco victory.
I know. And I think that for this game, going for the draw is not too crazy. At the end of the day, this is a derby. And Sevilla and Betis, they are showing a similar level this season. A draw pays 3.38. From all the outright market results, I will definitely back this one. Betis are playing at home. At home, they've been good this season. It's true that that against Atletico de Madrid, they show their biggest weakness. I believe that Betis is a slow team. They've got a player like Fekir, who actually makes the difference with dribbling, and he turns the game, he pushes the accelerator. But the rest, the core of the team is rather slow. William Carvalho, Guardado, even Canales right now, because he is getting older, obviously. Betis has a problem with their speed. And when it comes to Sevilla, it's a little bit the same. The team is very veteran as well. And I have seen it in the Champions League these days, that whenever they play against Salzburg or against Wolfsburg, German teams, Austrian teams, who are normally recognized for their speed, they suffer. So I think that these two teams, physically, they are strong, but they are not quick. And maybe this game is a little bit slow. That's why the draw is something that I may back here. Navas and Papu are not playing for Sevilla. Those are important absentees. Not that Papu has been particularly good in La Liga, but at the end of the day, he is probably the guy with most quality in Sevilla. And when it comes to Jesús Navas, well, he's the right back, and I believe that he's far better than Montiel. I don't like Montiel, the second choice right back for Sevilla. So the draw is something that I can back here because this is a derby. Or the Asian Handicap 0 for Betis. Actually, I like this one too. 2.06. The Asian Handicap 0 means, if someone asks, that if Betis wins, you win. And if they draw, you get a stake refund.
And Betis, they have 2 days less of rest because they are playing in the Europa League, actually in Germany, against Bayer Leverkusen, whereas Sevilla played on Tuesday in the Champions League, although maybe Pellegrini, he makes some changes for the game in the Europa League, thinking in the derby. Of course, they are doing great in Europe, Betis, so far, and they probably will qualify for the next round. Then, Álvaro, thank you, of course, but before we are wrapping up this show, we all want to listen to Yoraka.
Yeah, let's round it up before the international break, and I hope that this Saka is a prolific one for you. Asian Handicap -3 for Athletic Club Bilbao. Both teams to score in Celta Barcelona. Alavés to win, this is my big bet here, and over 1.5 goals in the second half of Real Madrid, Rayo Vallecano. I repeat, over 1.5 goals in the second half of Real Madrid, Rayo Vallecano. A total of 14.75.
Okay, you are gaining yourself a reputation as Acálvaro, the guy of the Acas. So let's hope this is going through.
I prefer Acálvaro than Ácaro. Because Ácaro in Spanish doesn't sound good. Yeah.
No,
you know that, right?
I know that. Then, thank you, Álvaro. Let's enjoy this match day before the international break. Thanks, everyone, also for watching. And, of course, you can still leave your comments, your predictions, your tips, your suggestions about everything you want to tell us. And don't forget to click on the like, subscribe, and click on the bell to get notifications this time. Yes, Álvaro, thank you, and see you very soon.
Edu, I really hope that we qualify for the World Cup. I'm not too sure about that.
This is Spain will analyze it next week, actually. See you, Álvaro.
Take care, guys.